call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. A lot on the show today. We'll get you caught up on what's going on in the NFL, some news and notes, Russell Wilson, et cetera, et cetera. The franchise tag date is coming up. Are the Cowboys even close to anything with Dak Prescott? Plus, Ben Roethlisberger will be a Steeler in 2021. He did something kind of unprecedented in order to do it. We'll talk about that because the Steelers have now got some wiggle room on the financial side of things, but wasn't surprising, but it is sort of unprecedented for players of his age. Plus, the Baltimore Ravens have thrown in this new overtime proposal, which is really interesting. We'll give you the details through the show today. It might just work. But then again, if you've listened to this show for an extended period of time, I kind of get excited about interesting, unique proposals that go absolutely nowhere when it comes to the NFL. I get all excited, and then they all sit in a room and they trash it, and then they say, no. What we're doing is fine. We're not doing anything different, anything radical. Forget it. Also, listen, I'm not a it was better in my day kind of guy. I don't like that. I didn't like it when I was younger. I don't like doing it now. I think everybody in every generation has their good things, their bad things. There's no such thing as the good old days. It's just we're very nostalgic for things that we may have grown up with. I am getting like that, though, when it comes to All-Star games. Yesterday, the NBA did its draft with Team LeBron and Team Kevin Durant. And I got to tell you, that doesn't interest me at all. And I don't mind the All-Star games in sports. But I've seen every single All-Star game change its format in some way, shape, or form. And in my day, it was just whatever conference or league you played in is that's who you suited up for. I know it's simplistic, and I may be getting older, but that's kind of the way I like my All-Star games. But will this work in Atlanta on Sunday? And in all seriousness, should we even be doing something this weekend in Atlanta? Shouldn't all of the NBA players be taking a very well-deserved week off without any obligations at all? I think we in the public should be at least giving the NBA stars a chance to rest after giving us all of what they did in the fall and then jumping into a new season. But coming up next, we will talk about the format of the All-Star game in Atlanta. It's all going to be crammed into one day. We'll give you the details next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio. Happy Friday to you. As I said earlier, we're going to have a good show today. There's a lot to get to, and we're kind of covering a lot of different kind of sports. But also on this show, in hour two, we've got Adam Graham from the Detroit News is going to join us because the real world is doing a reunion. And we're going to dive into the entertainment world a little bit. Ron and I are both old enough to remember the first real world. Some of you, if you're young, you probably have always known it. Yeah. And it changed television, and they're bringing the original cast back who are all in their 50s, right?
No, they're not.
Did they do research?
No, don't do the sarcasm.
I really want to know. Are they all in their 50s, right?
Yeah, they have
29
to be.
Years?
They have to be.
Like, Julie might have been the youngest one. This is 30 years.
Yeah, say she was 18. She might have been 18. If she was 18, she's 48 now.
Yeah, okay, golly. Like, what in the world at 50 are you going to go? Are you just going to go, yeah, that was fun. I was a kid. What do you want from me? I'm old now. I got grandkids, for crying out loud. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, is that what they're going to do?
I mean, they've all lived lives. They've all had their careers. They probably have families. Some are maybe, you know, becoming empty nesters. That's the reality.
Yeah.
That's the real world.
Well, I'm excited to talk to Adam Graham about it because I saw the previews for it. I saw a teaser for it.
Yes.
And I couldn't believe they did that. I couldn't believe all seven of them agreed to return at their age.
Yeah.
Like, like all seven of them. Like, when you're young, you want to be on TV. But nowadays, I would think you'd want to go, you know what? Leave me alone. I did this 30 years ago. I don't need to do it now. Goodbye. Thanks for everything. I appreciate it. It was fun.
I would have thought maybe some of them came forward and go, yeah, ruined my life.
Yeah, ruined my life. Like, because the big thing about the real world was, we'll talk a little bit more about it later, is a lot of these people that were on the show got fame but no money.
Yeah.
They never turned, like, they ended up working, like, regular 9-to-5 jobs with people going, hey, didn't you live in the loft and remember, like, 15 years ago? That's what they got their whole lives.
Yep. Standing in line at a Starbucks and...
Right.
And somebody comes up and's like, hey, I know you. You have a, are you?
Going on job interviews, like, I really think I could add for this company. Like, aren't you the Michael from Miami? Yes, I was on that show. Yeah, I remember. Exactly. All right, so I said at the top of the hour, I am really not a, you know, it was better in my day kind of guy. And yet every year I do this with these all-star games where I'm like, are we really picking teams and we doing this in a weird format? Are we changing the rules? And yesterday, Team LeBron and Team Kevin Durant picked their teams. I should just say Team Durant because Durant, I don't need to preface it with the Kevin, right? They picked their teams and it looks fun. You know, you've got Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic and Steph Curry playing alongside Ben Simmons and Jaylen Brown of the Celtics in terms of interconference, blending the conferences together. Rudy Gobert, the Jazz, and Donovan Mitchell of the Jazz were picked last because apparently people don't like Utah all that much because they're the best team in the league right now. You've got, you know, Bradley Beal of the Wizards playing alongside Devin Booker of the Suns, and Zion Williamson is playing along Julius Randle. And, you know, so you've got this sort of cool taking the conferences and blurring the lines and bringing them all together. Now, when I was, again, back in my day, you just played Eastern Conference versus Western Conference. And it was kind of cool because if you were a Celtics fan and or a Laker fan growing up, you knew the battles that you had to go through to become the conference champions, right? You knew, like, if you were a Celtics fan in the 80s, you knew, like, hey, you've got Dominic Wilkins in Atlanta and you've got Isaiah Thomas in Detroit and you got Michael Jordan in Chicago and you name your team, like Dr. J in Philadelphia, Bernard King in New York. Like, you could list the amount of star players in your conference that you had to muscle your way through in order to get to the Eastern Conference Championship. And then one magical Sunday, you brought all of those foes and they all joined forces to play the Western Conference. And if you were a Laker fan, it was the same kind of thing. There's Ralph Sampson in Houston. You know, you make your list of all the star players that you had to go through to get to the finals. Now it's like these are buddies and they're all picking teams like we did in the schoolyard, and it works and it's fine. My daughter, who's a huge NBA fan, she loves it because this is what she likes. She likes that when they mix it up and play like this. This is all she's kind of known. Am I too grumpy of an old man that I kind of wish it was like it was? Or have the conferences just blurred themselves anyway down to what this is in the first place? Like, there really isn't a sense of East versus West anymore. All these players are crossing over anyway. They might as well be crossing over at the All-Star game.
Nah, I'm with you. I like the tradition.
Yeah.
I like the tradition of East versus West because, you know, there's pride on the line because the All-Star game has nothing else for it.
Nothing else. And they did this in the NFL too, right? They have team captains and picking teams and all that other stuff. And look, I understand if you are selling this product, right? Because this is one of the things that each league has. They sell their All-Star game. They try to make a little money. We always pick on the Pro Bowl, right? We always say, who watches the Pro Bowl? It's silly. But it gets one of the highest ratings of sports. People do watch it. There's some real numbers to the Pro Bowl. It's not like, you know, AFC title game numbers, but it's enough to make it a valuable piece of product that a network would buy so they would sell some advertising. That in that regard, I understand these leagues tweaking their All-Star games. I get it. I completely understand why you would do it. You want to liven it up a little bit. You want to add a cool little element. I mean, I'm not a huge hockey guy, but I know the NHL has done everything under the sun to change its All-Star game. I mean, they're doing something now. I don't even recognize the format. They're like, they're divided into like three teams playing some round robin thing. It used to be the United States against the world. They've tried all sorts of things because the traditional All-Star game in the NHL didn't work. Because when you find out there's nobody playing defense because nobody's checking and everyone's just skating around shooting on the goalies lose every time. I mean, the goalies just get obliterated. So the games were becoming like, it's 16 to 15. And they were like, we got to change that. That's not going to work. Why don't we do something different and liven it up a touch? I didn't mind the All-Star game being 162 to 160. You know, I didn't mind that. I don't care. I didn't need defense. I don't need it to be changed like that.
You know what it was? I mean, what the All-Star game started to become was watching professional players mimic the Harlem Globetrotters.
Absolutely.
And that was fun.
That was fine. You're 100% correct. You know, was fine.
These, all these alley-oops, passing. I mean, everything was just, they were just showcasing because no one was playing defense, and we really didn't care. It was, go ahead and throw up as many buckets as you can. Whoever makes the most wins.
And that's why years ago, I was on the, jumping up and down screaming that the All-Star game determining home field in the World Series in baseball, I didn't like that idea at all.
Let
them have fun. Don't put anything on this game. It doesn't have to be valuable. It doesn't have to have currency. It doesn't have to mean anything. It's not supposed to mean anything. And look, we're beyond when I was a kid, when I watched the All-Star game, it seriously was the only way I could see Steve Garvey. Like, that was it, right? I wasn't watching. I could not get National League games where I lived. I didn't have cable, and the only time I could see it was maybe Monday Night Baseball. That was it. So the baseball cards that I had, the only way that game really came to life was the All-Star game. Right now, that's not true. That's not true for the youth. They can see a million games in a million different ways. But you don't have to give it, like I said, you don't have to give it currency in the way the operations of the sport work. It's just supposed to be an exhibition fun.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but is baseball still the only one that has at least one representative from the team?
Yes.
I think, right? Because basketball, I mean, you could have like three people from one team, but you're not going to have you're not going to have every team represented.
Yeah.
But baseball, you still have like, because I know for years it was just Trevor Hoffman for the Padres.
Yeah. And just
nobody else.
Sure. Yeah. So they still do that. So all of the All-Star events for the NBA this weekend are all going to take place on Sunday. The dunk contest is going to be at halftime, and I think the skills contests are coming before. So they're not doing any of the Saturday stuff. It's not going to be a big weekend, obviously, because of COVID. The NBA All-Star games, man. I mean, you want to talk about like Roman times, right? I mean, a good party. That was take any city in America that's hosting the NBA All-Star game, and it's a blast.
Just a fun week.
It's a lot of debauchery and a lot of fun. I mean, it's a great time. It's not going to be that way this time. But there was one other complaint, and I heard some of the players on this, some of who were saying, we don't want an All-Star game, and Lincoln Braun had said so. And I kind of agreed. Look, I would have been okay if the NBA had said, look, guys, we've been running at this since July. We gave you a little break, between what we had in Orlando and starting this season. Let's give everybody a week. Go spend time with your family. Go do what you got to do. Let's go. Back. We'll test you. We'll make sure everybody's safe. But just go home and take a break.
Yeah, well, they were probably hoping for is exactly what the NFL did. So, yeah, we're not having a Pro Bowl game because of, issues surrounding in the world right now. But we're going to tell you who the Pro Bowlers were.
Sure. Yeah.
And, maybe you get a nice little plaque.
Yeah, and I think that would have worked.
To the Wikipedia.
Like, if you're LeBron James, it's got to be like, golly, when do I get 10 seconds to slow down?
I remember I don't want to say threatened, but threatened is the only word I can think of at the moment, that he wasn't going to start until after Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah,
it's like, I need a break.
I just ran through winning an NBA championship, and we just got done, and then we put together the framework of coming back for almost a full season. And then you want me to play in this All-Star game thing in Atlanta? When do I get a chance to breathe, man?
Yeah.
I don't blame him whatsoever.
Just want to put my feet up.
Right. Dalton. That's it. Like I just quickly perused the starting lineups, so not the starting lineups, but the rosters. I don't see any Miami Heat people on this list. Maybe they're probably thankful they've gotten a break.
Really, you know, not even a Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, then nope.
Is he hurt?
On here. No.
So out of tune with NBA. I gotta catch up now.
Kevin Durant is, but that's about it. Though. But that's, you know, so I agree. I agree with LeBron. I think they could have just easily taken a break. But the NBA, to the NBA's credit, they're like, yeah, this is kind of a valuable television property, and we really need to put something together. You know, if you guys wouldn't mind showing up and playing, that would be great for everybody.
We got a little out of control with the contracts we were giving out, and we still give out, even though we have no one in the stands to watch you guys.
Yeah, you like those full contracts we're paying out with nobody in the stands? Come to the All-Star game, all right? So keep your mouth shut and come to the All-Star game. That's how it's going to be on Sunday. All right, coming up, Ben Roethlisberger did something yesterday to remain a Steeler. Kind of unprecedented, and we'll tell you the details as we continue. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Sports Map Radio here on a Friday. All right, so Ben Roethlisberger did the unprecedented thing. He took a pay cut to become a Pittsburgh Steeler. That doesn't really happen to veteran quarterbacks. We'll give you the details coming up. A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Look, you know, if you're a fan of the NFL, you know that whenever there's a huge contract signing, you know that the player involved is usually not going to get all of the money that they announce in the deal. That the real money that he's getting is the guaranteed bonus of which he signed for. So when you see an offensive tackle get like, he's going to get $110 million in the next 5 years. Yeah, if he plays for that team in 5 years. Very likely will be a cut. Very likely will be released. Maybe because of injury, maybe because of lack of production, and maybe because at that time he was way too expensive. But it usually doesn't work with veteran quarterbacks who still got some gas in the tank, if you will. Those guys usually get through their contracts. And Ben Roethlisberger was expected to get through his gigantic, enormous, soul-crushing deal, except he had to go into the Steelers' office. If he wants to play here, he's got to play here on our terms. And he agreed to take a $5 million pay cut. Now, that's nothing to a guy that's made $250 million. But we talk about this all the time, especially in the NFL, which is you're not ever going to make a decision like that on your own. You're never going to be able to sit down and just do what you want to do when it comes to negotiating your deal. You do have union brethren that you are trying to protect. You don't like giving money back. The union never wants you to give money back. You don't see it in other sports where the union will come in and go, hey, no, you ain't taking that deal. That is way undervalued. No. And they do pressure guys who are up for contracts. They do want bars being set. They don't want to give a little because they know in the end they'll take a lot. Roethlisberger, by taking a pay cut, now becomes the person that ownership can look at and tell future older quarterbacks that they don't have to fulfill their contract obligations. Ben Roethlisberger took a pay cut, and you are going to as well if you're going to stick around here. That's the leverage owners have. They can let you go. You don't like it? Well, we can cut you. We can release you and you get nothing, and you have to go find somewhere else to play. Baseball contracts and NBA contracts are guaranteed, so the union even has even more pressure to make sure that young guys get as every possible dollar into those deals as possible. If you're a young talent, you're setting the records with scoring or whatever it is that you do that enables you to be a special player, the union is going to pressure you to make sure you don't give the hometown discount. You don't make it easy for owners. You get the maximum dollars, because when you get the maximum dollars, the next guy behind you is going to get the maximum dollars. It'll probably going to be more as the increases kick in. Roethlisberger giving back $5 million, that's nothing. He's made over $250 million in his career. But it is unprecedented when you think how this just was going to happen. And I don't think he probably felt the pressure, because I think the writing was on the wall for him, and he wasn't going to be setting new ground here. He was either going to accept the Steelers' terms, or he wasn't going to play in 2021 in Pittsburgh. And that's where he wanted to be. Because he knew, as well as everybody knew, there might be a role for him somewhere else, but no team is going to be all that interested in Ben Roethlisberger coming to play for him. I mean, there's a famous graphic. If you ever see it, it'll blow your mind. It shows a picture of Ben's full body, and it's got arrows pointed to every place on his body that has suffered an injury in his NFL career. And let me just give you a little insight. The page is full. It's everywhere. From concussions to toe injuries to knee injuries to arm injuries, shoulder injury, you name it. He's had it, right? It's one of the reasons last year, despite the fact that they were 11-0, that he took very short amount of time releasing the football. The offense was relying very heavily on short passing routes. Oh, don't get me wrong. He'd go deep occasionally, of course. You gotta spice it up a lot, especially when you have Juju Smith-Schuster and some of the weapons that he had offensively. But for the most part, they were trying to protect him because they didn't have a running game and they didn't have a good offensive line. And they knew, look, we saw it last year when he was hurt. We kind of stunk. The only way we're going to keep this machine going is if we keep Ben Roethlisberger healthy. But speaking as a Steeler fan, and I try not to do that when I do this analysis, I will tell you that I'm not as excited for the 2021 season that he's back. I think the division is going to be an impossible landmine. I think the Browns are starting to get confident. And the scary thing about the Browns is that they always built this talent. They always had this talent, but they never had the right chef in the kitchen, right? They had all the great ingredients, but they never had the right chef in the kitchen. They would go after new head coach, new head coach, new head coach, new coordinator, new coordinator, new coordinator. We don't know what to do with these guys. Well, it feels like they've gotten the right guy now. They feel like they've got enough confidence now. They've overcome a hurdle, which is get to the postseason. Then they overcame another hurdle while they were at it, win a postseason game. So now the Baltimore Ravens are always going to be a threat. And now you've got Joe Burrow coming back from Cincinnati, and if he stays healthy, the Bengals should get better as he gets better. I'm not all excited about a 39-year-old quarterback coming back, especially the way that team closed out, especially with the way that offense couldn't do anything.
Yeah, but remember, you only have 8 quarters left in them anyway, so.
That's right. That's right.
Then it's Haskins' really time.
Yeah. But think about this. We always think about Tom Brady, right? He always took these deals, but he never took a pay cut. He always rearranged the dollars, but he never took a pay cut. He was always willing to restructure. He was not going to take less money. That was always Brady's MO. Sure, they were team friendly, of course, but he always got every nickel that was coming his way. Roethlisberger is giving money back. And that is something you don't see quarterbacks do. It is very rare for a Hall of Fame quarterback to take a pay cut. It's very rare a Hall of Fame player takes a pay cut. I know Jerome Bettis did it with the Steelers in his final couple of years. But for Roethlisberger, he had to take this pay cut. There was no question about it. He had to. The team was only willing to do this for him if he would do this. Only willing to keep him on the team. They had no problems with saying, that's it, we're done. It was an albatross. I said earlier, it is a soul-crushing deal he had before restructuring. The Steelers had no chance. They could literally say, you want to stay here under this deal? Fine. We have no money. No money to get any help. So if you want us to re-sign Juju Smith-Schuster, that's not going to happen. You want us to get a left tackle to keep you upright? That's not going to happen either. And oh, by the running game you complained about that we don't have, we won't be able to help you there either. So take your money, but you're pretty much going to be left with all the tools that we left last year, and which you said wasn't good enough. And that was the deal. And that's how they made this work. the owners always have this kind of leverage in the NFL. You know, they don't necessarily in other leagues, and they really don't have that kind of leverage in other leagues. But the Steelers utilized it perfectly, and Roethlisberger, who's made enough money, and by this time now it's about legacy, was willing to do the deal and may take the pay cut. All right, coming up next, the Ravens have got a really cool and interesting overtime proposal, but will it work? That's next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, get a $5 rebate by trading up any contact thermometer towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters, especially when it comes to checking for fever and keeping your family safe. Unlike non-contact thermometers, Exergen's accuracy is backed by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. By the way, you're getting your vaccine soon?
Yes. True?
Yeah, good for you. Yes. You know, they're not going to give me one. You know, I'm going to be last on the list.
You just gotta start signing up.
No, if it's on a level of essential personnel, they're going to give it to dead people before they come around to me. Like, seriously, like
you're essential.
Oh, overweight sports talk show guy.
That's
oh yeah,
essential.
Sure. Come on in. Come on in and be in line with people. No, they'll be like, they literally will do this. All right, did we dig up everybody in the area to give the COVID vaccine to? And oh, then they're going to be like, does anybody want it twice? Like, I know you got it shot twice. I mean, like, you want it again? Before we're going to get rid of all these, just want to make sure, before we give it to this guy, is everybody good? Does everybody want it again? Then they'll go, all right, fine, get over here. You can now have your vaccine.
Okay,
that's how it's going to work.
Now it's your turn.
Now it's your turn. We couldn't quite dig up the body of Abraham Lincoln to make sure he had the COVID vaccine, so we'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Here you go, Tony. Poop. Now you get it. So let me know how you feel in the next couple of days. You might not feel anything. Some people get a little sicky, but...
Yeah, I've heard it's worse after the second, so...
You should be fine.
I'll keep the masses up to date.
Yeah. My wife got it. She works in the medical field, so she got it almost immediately. They got her office signed up, and she felt terrible after the second one. She felt a little awful of the first one, but the second one, she knocked her out. So I was kind of jealous.
Things to look forward to.
Yeah, I was kind of envious. I was like, oh, man. All right, nevertheless. So the everyone knows that I was really on board with that whole onside kick thing that the NFL was proposing. Remember, was it a year ago, 2 years ago? I'm losing track of time.
It might have just been last year.
So I loved the idea of – it was you would get the ball and you could go for it. Like, so if you wanted to have
like
an onside
fourth and 15.
Yeah, it was like fourth and 15. So if you needed the ball again, you'd get the ball and it would be fourth and 15. But if you didn't want the ball, you would just punt from that location, right? So nevertheless, I was all favored on this. I thought this is great. I hate onside kicks. I think they're stupid. In fact, they never come true. Your dreams of getting an onside kick and coming back in a game where you're down two scores, you might as well forget it. You know, just take your hopes and dreams and flush them down the toilet. You're never going to become anybody, Johnny. You're never coming back in an NFL game late down two scores because the onside kick has been ruined with the hands team. So they came up with this proposal to be like, well, at least you got a shot. It may be a long shot, but can you convert a fourth and 15? Because if you can, you get to keep the drive alive. And if you can't, the other team's going to get the ball about where they would have gotten it on an onside kick anyway. Okay. I thought it was great. Did the NFL think it was great? No, they did not. They shot it down immediately. Too gimmicky. Well, the Ravens have got a proposal for the overtime, which is one of these debates that never ends. We didn't like sudden death, and we kind of don't like this new one either. And we don't really want to do the college thing because that could go on forever, especially amongst pros, right? So we said, well, how can we do this? How can we do this in a fair way? Players and even teams don't really want overtime to last forever during the regular season. That's their biggest worry. They don't want triple overtime games. They want to wrap these up as quickly as possible. The NHL, during the regular season, they'll do the shootout. They'll do something gimmicky to close it out because they used to end in ties. They didn't want to end in ties. They do a shootout. in the regular, in the postseason, they go on forever. NFL regular season, the postseason, they would go on forever. In the regular season, they want to get out of there as quickly as possible. So the Ravens came up with this proposal for the overtime. So you would have the coin flip, and whoever wins the coin flip has the choice of where the drive is going to start, where they're going to place the ball. No kickoff. So the team says, we want it to start on the 20-yard line. Then the other team gets to pick whether or not they'd like to play offense or defense in a sudden death format. So there you go. So that is the proposal from the Ravens. One side will pick where the drive starts. The other side will pick whether or not that's good enough for them to play offense to try to score first or defense to try to make a stop and get the ball back to score. Now, this is interesting, right? Because it throws a whole bunch of strategy into play and the analytics people will go nuts trying to figure out the ideal field position. What would it be? Would it be the 15-yard line? Would it be the 25-yard line? Would it be the 20-yard line? Would it be the 19-yard line? Everyone is going to be breaking down the best possible case for where the drive should start. So if you are, there'll be somebody on every team who's responsible for the, if it's on this yard line or further back, we take defense. If it's on this yard line further up, we'll take offense. So again, one side picks the starting spot. The other side picks whether they want the ball first or not. But here's the true, here's the thing. It is then a true sudden death. Field goals will win it, and that's it. You don't need to have the ball again. So if you want to start at the 15 and I say, oh, go ahead, good luck with that. I'm going to play defense because I think we can make enough stops and get good field position on your punt. And then you drive down and kick a field goal. That's it. I don't need the ball back. I don't need to get my chance. Now, what are the chances that the NFL owners, they need 23 people to vote for this? What are the chances that they'll get that gimmicky in overtime? Probably zero. Probably zero. This kind of rule change where it's not complicated. It's not the right word. It's got a lot of pieces here. Is going to be dissected by every single team to determine whether or not it would be something viable. Like, would we really be interested in playing a game under these kind of circumstances? Now, listen, as I said earlier, the onside kick thing where you get the ball, it's like 4th and 15 and you got to make that one play. That was gimmicky, but I didn't mind because I think the alternative to gimmicky was nothing, right? We weren't replacing a successful 40% chance of getting an onside kick with something gimmicky to sort of get people talking. That's not why that proposal was there. That proposal came, even if it's quirky, that proposal came because the alternative wasn't exciting at all. You all know it, and I know it. You've all been in the same position as me and Ron. You've had your team down by 2 scores with less than 2 minutes to go. You're driving down the field, and you know, man, we ain't going to win this game because even if we score, we ain't getting the ball back. And when you do, every now and then an outside kick works, you're actually excited. It's actually cool. It's because it's so rare that it actually happens.
Yeah, what would you say, like 1 out of 100?
Oh, what was the actual percentage? They actually brought that up.
Yeah, I remember.
I think it was like 10% or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It was very low. It's silly.
And it's the dumbest play because now, you know, I think, you know, back when you and I were kids, when we were younger, it probably was a better move because you didn't have an all-hands team.
Right.
You would, I don't know why they never thought of it, but.
You'd put the big guys up front that would do the blocking for the receiving guys.
Yep.
And then they couldn't catch a thing, so you would try to make that ball bounce all sorts of crazy because you knew if it hit a 270-pound blocking guy who's just big ball, I don't know what to do with this thing.
Yeah. Oh.
And you would fumble it, and all hell would break loose.
Or maybe just even ignore the ball and say, "I'm still going to take out my guy. That's my assignment."
That's right, exactly. But now they're just like, "Hey, wide receiver who never drops a pass, you get in there.
Yeah,
hey,
you
guy."
Get in there.
You get in there now. You play that spot.
Stand behind the big guys because the big guys are still going to let the ball go through, but then you should have plenty of space
and then
to catch this ball.
And you get it.
And, I mean, literally, it's like probably the quickest play in football. It's like kick, boom, oh, it's over.
Isn't it the worst when the onside kick goes up in the air?
Yeah.
When you're sitting there going, oh, God, please, just make the one chance.
I will never do that thing you hate me doing. If you just give me this onside kick, I swear I'll change my life. Just please give us this onside kick. And then the kicker pops it straight up. And you're like, great. Oh, it's like a punt now with the receiver just waiting underneath to catch it. Oh, I hate that. Throw it on the ground so it spins and bounces wild and does something that gives you a chance. But back to this overtime rule, I kind of like it. I kind of think it's interesting. There is one twist to this proposal that's actually interesting. They say Bill Belichick's behind it, which would say that the game would not end in it would be overtime. But if nobody is scoring, it would be the 10 minutes, and I think the Patriots are said that they would like 7 minutes and 30 seconds a second overtime. So I believe that was the proposal.
Such a specific number.
I know.
I wonder what the analytics are on 7 minutes and 30 seconds of football.
Yeah.
Belichick hasn't broken down.
I think that's not going to have a chance. I think they're going to like, no, we're not playing that long. I don't know. I kind of like this. I don't know.
I'm up for anything.
Yeah. So you weren't satisfied with the way they said, well, a touchdown wins it, a field goal, the other team gets the ball back.
I'm fine with that more so than, just sudden death. Any points on the board will win the game. Because you do. I mean, a lot of times you have a team that just marches, maybe 40 yards, gets into field goal range, kicks a field goal, and then it's done. And the other team never gets a chance to ball. So I do like the idea of like, hey, go for a touchdown, and then, we'll try to do this. I'm a big fan of the college overtime.
I like the college overtime. I really do. The only problem with the college overtime, and I can see where the NFL doesn't like it, is that there is no end time.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you can go on forever.
That was their big thing. I mean, college kids, you're college kids, right? You got a roster of 100 people. But the NFL players were really like, look, we can't be here all day. Like, we really need to know we're getting out of here. And we've never been bothered by ties. We don't mind ties. We'll figure it out. But no, we're not going to do this for the next hour and a half, going back and forth.
I mean, I don't feel like the fourth and 15 play is gimmicky.
I think it's brilliant, to be honest with you.
I think
it's brilliant, but, who are we?
I mean, it's a fourth and 15 play. How successful are fourth and 15 plays?
Yeah, that's what
you
I was saying.
You get one shot. That's it. You don't get a do-over. You don't get, we call timeout right before, the pass was thrown. You don't get any of that. It's like, hey, you guys get a fourth and 15 play. You make it great. You don't? Too bad. The team gets the ball on the 40-yard line now.
And I think most NFL fans, if I said to them, push comes to shove, winning an important game late in the season, positioning towards the playoffs, I will give you an opportunity to have one of two things. You are either going to convert a fourth and 14, 15 or try an onside kick. They take the fourth and 15.
Yes.
They'd say, give me a chance that my offense can devise a play that would get them the first down.
And on the flip side... You got a defense that should be able to stop a fourth and 15.
Sure they could. Absolutely.
You don't have to catch it. You don't have to do that. I mean, you can let them have 10 yards.
Yeah. Play. You'd be like, Why not? Take 11, but you ain't getting the extra four.
Exactly.
So.
I want them to at least try it.
And
just say, just put it on for size. See if it fits. Walk around in it a little bit.
Again, this is like Congress. When anything happens, you need like a big supermajority.
Yeah.
So 23 other teams would have to agree with the Ravens to get this changed. But I like the innovation. Look, I started the show saying I'm not a better in my day kind of guy. I don't mind evolving. I may not like the way the All-Star games are going, but I'm totally okay with innovations like this where we rethink things that we all can agree just really have limitations that we don't really, really like. And this might be one of them. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of a wake-up call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. We are going to be talking later on in hour number two to Adam Graham of the Detroit News. We're going to talk about the Real World reunion. 29 years after they put seven strangers in a loft. If you're old enough to remember that show, you remember how reality TV hit the world. There are just people who've grown up with it who just think reality TV's been around forever. But I remember I remember when that show came out, and I remember thinking, what in the world is this?
Yeah, our only reality TV was daytime talk shows and game shows.
That was pretty much it.
That was it.
Right? Where Susan from Santa Monica was trying to match the stars on Match Game with Gene Rayburn.
That was your reality show right there.
They took seven people. They put them in a New York loft, and then they just went, live your life. We're just going to film this if you don't mind.
And the concept was brilliant because it wasn't like, no, let's take seven people from the same neighborhood. No, let's take seven people from all different walks of life.
Yep.
And throw them in a room together and see what happens.
Yeah,
we don't even know what's going to happen.
We don't know if they'll get along. We don't know if nothing will happen. They'll all just be like sitting on the couch reading books.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It could have been the worst television program in the history of TV had they all just been like, they're just watching TV again.
And it was, like I remember Kevin and Julie in the street yelling, talking about race because she was from Alabama.
Yep.
Kevin was from New York and he wrote for, I think, Rolling Stone or something. And this was one of the most real debates I'd ever seen on TV. There were like two young people who were very, very confident in what they believed and had a great yelling match on the streets of New York about this very, passionate issue of theirs. And I felt like a fly on the wall, right? I wasn't really supposed to be listening to this. And I was listening to this. We've seen a number of versions of this show now, but it wasn't quite like the first one where nobody really knew how to act when the cameras were rolling. So 29 years later, they brought them all back to the loft in New York to see what do a retro. We'll talk to Adam Graham about that next hour. And we'll also have the good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along. It's SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call with Tony D. Ron Culver.